I came across that word in a study that was around 2000 BC. These were the nomadic tribes that were mercenaries and sold their goods and sold their self, enslaved themselves to an army for a fee, but got paid first, and then raised the fee if the game plan changed in war. And they were an astute group of people that actually were the true Palestinians. And they were adopted into the Abrahamic covenant.
Okay, well,
adoptions.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that because obviously,
in other words, the Hebrews and the Hebrews are the same.
Yeah, well, no, they're not. Okay, obviously, Hebrew, they're all phonetically related, right?
Right.
Nibiru.
Yeah.
Okay. You've heard of Nibiru?
Got it.
Okay. All right. But when you read Michael Tazarian, what you find out is the twist.
Yeah.
Because there's an Egyptian word called Aparu. I think this might be an E, but like that. Aparu in Egypt or Egyptian means the outcast, the fringe dwellers, those who were on the fringe. Okay. That's who they called them the Aparu. And they basically started infiltrating Egyptian structures and really took hold in what's known as the 18th dynasty, which is known as the Hyksos. Whoops. Control of Egypt in the 18th dynasty and controlled it for basically about 500 years. The history of Egypt during the Aparu intrusion into and taking control and becoming the Hyksos pharaohs or the Hyksos kings around 2000 BC, 1800 to 2000 BC, and controlling all the way up to about 1300 to 1400 BC, which is a key period, and we're going to get into that, is known as the Hyksos period, Hyksos. The Hyksos are known in Egyptian history as basically being parasites. They came in, they took control, very intelligent, yes, but really they just, like a parasite, drained civilization. They created structure, legal structure, monetary structure, and they basically took the productive part of the civilization and they sucked it, and they sucked the wealth out of it. Does it sound familiar?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
United States of America.
Hey, you're getting ahead of yourself. We're not there yet. We're in the Hyksos period. Okay. And they adopted that term Ari or the Aryans as who they were. And they integrated it into their control of the priesthood and the priest class, science, priests, etc. And we're going to get into that, and that's the basis of virtually everything that we're going to talk about. So hold all those thoughts for the moment. Let's go back to our basic control template. The daily arch of the sun, okay, which is an obvious key component of time and space. The equinoxes and the solstices. So what are these things here? Okay, well, let's take this off for a second. Take this off, and we'll go here. If you have a relatively flat plane, and you know when the equinox is going to be and the two solstices, and you take a rod or a staff, having fun. Okay, and you know, I'm not an artist, so use your imagination. Off in the distance, you know, is the horizon, and here's this staff, you know, that looks big, but maybe is only 8 feet tall or something like that, and this maybe is off many miles in the horizon, and the sun's going to come up. What's it going to do on the equinox? It's going to cast a shadow like this. What's it going to do on the solstice. It's going to cast a shadow like this. What's it going to do on the solstice over here? It's going to cast a shadow like this. You recognize that symbol?
Yes.
No, it's not the ankh. It's a peace symbol. Okay. So now you have this new generation, new age hippies, all accepting this is a symbol of peace. The dove is the symbol of peace, etc., walking around disseminating it. But those who would control us through our mind, through the capacity of us to create a reality, all is done by the use of symbols. And now we're starting with the arch and the placement of the sun on the horizon during those three points during the year and a simple staff. That's why I drew the line of the staff. This beginning of the structure of creating symbols and the use of symbols, because pre-language, our whole being takes in symbols in a quantum sort of ideographic, holographic way of inducing through the third eye and bringing it down into the biocrystalline virtual reality projecting unit that we are as we create reality. So we're walking around with all these symbols all the time, going in, projecting out, okay? Because ultimately what we're going to get to is the cult of the sun and the entire control of the planetary grid and structure through money and law and everything else based on all of these structures that we are really creating. We're the creator of it all, okay? Hence, we're going to get into that probably more tomorrow in terms of our responsibility and where the solution lies, because if we created it, we can change it, okay? But back to this. So there's the basic schematic, the rod and the three patterns of the equinoxes and the solstices to cast a shadow. Now, the other thing about it, let's take the rod away for a minute and just look at the shadows. So, the equinox, the sun rises on the eastern horizon. It casts a shadow this way. When it sets, it casts a shadow the other way, okay? But if we were to take this as the shadow, say, at sunset of the equinox, and then when the horizon, the sun rises on the solstices, each one like this, we get this. Recognize that symbol? Yeah. Your friends over there in...
I used to work in, behind the headquarters. Maybe they saw it
everywhere. How ubiquitous is this in our reality globally? It's everywhere, okay? Now what this symbol is, the Mercedes symbol, is this is only half the picture, right? Because on the equinox, this is the sunset shadow, but this is the sunrise shadow. On the solstice, it goes like this. Not exactly symmetrical, but you get the idea. Okay?
Would you say that upper part again?
In other words, if I'm standing here, whether I'm a rod or a human being, and that's the eastern horizon, and on the equinox, the sun comes up in the morning, it will cast my shadow directly behind me. When it sets, it'll cast the shadow that way. If I'm standing here on the solstice, it'll come up there and cast the shadow here, and on the sunset, it will cast the shadow there. When the solstice is over here, it'll do the other half. This is the whole picture. So what is the Mercedes symbol? It's one of the key components of how reality is controlled. It's called the seen and the unseen. Now you see it, now you don't, right? That's called magicianship, okay? How is magic done? By now you see it, now you don't. So the Mercedes symbol is the seen, while what that we are being given the ability to see, but behind it is the unseen. The other half, okay? That's how we are controlled. You know, these lights are flicking on 60 times in 1 second, okay? But do we see the unseen when it's off? No. But the frequency of that going on and off with alternating current is entraining our brain, okay? And now we know today the sophistication of the ability to use frequency to control our biology through whether harp on a grand scale or transmitting frequency into a room. You know, there's stories of, you know, restaurant owners who figured out that if they played certain music or they actually transmitted unheard frequencies, it would make you eat faster. And if that was the case, you would turn over maybe 20% more clientele for the number of tables you have during the course of the day. Okay.
Same is true of a TV screen.
Well, of course, everything. You know, the fact is that they know our frequency of our body is completely mapped out. They have a frequency. If you turned a specific frequency on right now, we'd all pee in our pants without any ability to stop it. You know, or our heart would accelerate, or our brain would go apathetic, or it would go hyper-accelerated, or any of those, okay?
Some water there.
Yeah, thanks. These frequency-generating units that we hold up to our head all day long are in harmonic frequencies of the exact frequency of the brain, okay? So that basically we're in this brain control frequency grid continually. But let's not go there right now. Let's go back to this, okay? It's all based on the sun, the positions, the arch of the day, the three stations of the day, sunrise, zenith, sunset, the Trinity. This was the original Trinity. And there's a, you know, basically a law of nature of the replication of things in three, which is very evident if you start looking at it. You know, the human race has three primary racial types: Caucasian, Negroid, and Mongoloid. You know, everything else is mix of those three. We can find it everywhere in chemistry and biology and all kinds of things. So here's your Trinity, here's your three. Institutionalizing this knowledge. Well, we take our rod, and wherever we are going to establish a institutional focalization or centralization of control to begin to entrain and control the masses, we're going to determine where those two shadows during the two solstices are going to fall. And there we are going to build two pillars. Okay. If you look throughout history, the image of two pillars is fundamental to the control structure that we're going to talk about for the next 2 days or day and a half. When they built the temples, they always determined where is the equinox, where would the shadow run during the equinox and the two solstices, and build the two pillars of the entrance to the temple where those two points are, like I just mapped out. Okay? And then they established structurally, or has been for thousands of years, two lineages called the line of the king and the line of the priest. The land, and the priest controls the law. And that's all you need to do to control the population. And we're going to get into that and how that works. But above them is the arch of the gods or the God. Okay? So where I started with what I drew in the beginning, now you see where those two lines were, the two pillars, the rod, the horizon, the three stations, and the arch of the sun. Okay, the word arch or arc is ingrained in us as the seat of power. Okay, we have monarch as one example. We have patriarch. The male component of power and control. The singular component of power and control. But this is actually the sun, and this is the moon. We'll get into that in a minute. This is where it comes from, the arc of the sun and the arc of the moon. Okay. We have the line of the two to control the land and the law. For those of you who've heard me talk on republic calls or various components, I continually emphasize that the sovereign controls the law and the land, and that's it. Okay, but it's been projected or externalized by this entire system of the priest scientifichood, priestcraft, that have created this structure for the last 5,000 years for us to project our own capacity to be sovereign and hold the law in the land. And that's going to be the theme of what we're going to talk about a lot for the next day and a half. In the meantime, let's talk about Egyptian creation story and mythology. I will drink a little water. Creation and mythology. Yes?
I just wanted to ask a quick question. I've been hearing, and I haven't been able to